goal change, life changes. We're not always in the same happy place all the time either, because sometimes we get a knock. Sometimes something happens in life, you know, life is good when it's all good, but then sometimes we do get that universal pull, as I call it, and life changes and we have to find ourselves again.
Welcome to The Gab. Thanks for the click and the download. Do you sit in a meeting afraid to give your opinion? Do you go along to a dinner party and sit without uttering a word? Do you feel self-conscious about speaking in public? Would you like to lead a more empowered, courageous, and value-focused life? Well, a new type of self-development program designed by Galway woman Dr. Karen Heshen, entitled Born to Rise, is now helping women and men across the country to find their voice with a breakthrough technique using music and song. I sat with Karen at her studio in Cairnmore for a very interesting conversation. Yes, you're very welcome into the podcast today, The Gab, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for the click and the download, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts. I'm sitting here in Cairnmore today with Dr. Karen Heshen.
Hello, Ronan. How are you?
Oh, not too bad at all. We're out here in Cairnmore. Now, Karen is a doctor. We'll find out exactly what doctor she is now. She wasn't checking my pulse or anything beforehand. So we'll get to that very, very shortly. She has a new type of self-development program, which could interest you or maybe somebody around you. First of all, Karen, how are you?
I'm good, yeah.
Yeah, Christmas over, done and dusted, new me, new you. We started laughing about this a few moments ago. There are lots of people out there, obviously, that do want to kind of change things in their lives, and we'll get to that as well. But tell us a little bit about your background, education, all that kind of an idea.
Ooh, it's kind of a bit of a puzzle as well, in a way. So I suppose I've been on a bit of a journey, like most people have. And I suppose the fact that we change things is actually nearly a good thing, as opposed to sticking to the one thing. But I originally, I suppose I did a fine art background. I specialise in audiovisual media, and I did a lot of work with horses and rhythm and beat as part of my sculpture audiovisual background. And so I looked a lot at social conditioning and how we're conditioned to behave a certain way in society. And it was obviously put through the medium of fine art. And so as I was doing that, I was really loved horses and how they helped people connect and help people. Equine therapy started to become really big at the time. So I went and trained in equine therapy, became a practitioner in that. And so it was really fascinating how you look at, you take a person and you go through the individual self-development side and you bring that forward through horses. Then at the same time, I also trained in special needs. So I had special needs, equine therapy, and my fine art background. And so when I finished my degree, I had this notion that I wanted to change the education system. This could be a whole other podcast, by the way. I wanted to change the education system because I worked as a special needs assistant for 7 years. I saw like so many kids were coming and they were left behind by the system, and I hated it. And they were sent off to special schools or sent off to this, but at the end of the day, they have to function in society. And I really hated that they were dismissed or not getting to like show their full talents or their full capabilities, were judged by certain subjects. And I felt that that was quite unfair. So I had this notion, and I was talking to a tutor one day and I was like, oh, do you think I could like change the education system? Do you think like that would be something I could go on and do? And he kind of laughed at me and he was like, oh, well, you should do a PhD. And I was like, I can make up a PhD and do a PhD in that. So I didn't know that I could design a PhD and come up with my own area of study and present it, and then that this was actually a possibility. So I talked to a few other people. He got the ball rolling, even though it was such a sarcastic comment, but he got the ball rolling. I talked to a few other people. I ended up sourcing a tutor in Dublin and a tutor in my host college, I suppose, was in Limerick. And so I presented them with my idea. And to be honest, they really liked it. Now, they weren't the first person to like it. The first college laughed in my face. They thought it was the most ridiculous thing they ever heard. The second college told me that, oh, we'll give you a place, but this won't be what you think it's going to be. And then I thought, no, I know what I want. So let me think again. And then I went to the third college and they told me to come back on Monday. This was a Friday. And I said, I'm due to start another course on Monday. So I need to know now if I'm going to Dublin or if I'm going to Limerick. And they took me on there and then. So I did 5 years of a PhD looking at horses and rhythm and beat, and then comparing them to music, because on the side I was actually secretly doing music but just didn't tell anyone. So anyone who's a shower singer out there knows all about it. You know, you have this little secret hobby that no one knows about, except the secret hobby starts to become an obsession. And my tutor would often tell me in Limerick that I would be singing in the middle of my tutorials without me even realizing. So yeah, I finished my PhD, did basically compare music and horses, because courses aren't always affordable. And so the idea was, we looked at dyspraxia and social and emotional behaviour, and also physical gait, your performance and your memory and all that. So we looked at all that, figured out that music is almost just as good as horses, but more affordable and more accessible. And so when I finished my PhD, I applied for a postdoc, because that's what you're told to do.
Yeah, go and do it. It's in the system.
Yes, it's follow the system. And I was like, oh my God, because I loved the work, but the whole following, you know, dotting the T's and, you know, crossing the,
I said that crossing the T's, dotting the I's, you're fine.
Yeah, so, you know, the regulations that you have to follow to produce the thesis, I suppose, was the boring part. And so I applied to do a postdoc. And I had written out all this list of things that I wanted to do as part of the postdoc. And then they said that your list of things that you do in your application, you couldn't start it till another year later. And I was like, oh, right, okay. So on the sly, I started to fulfill the list of things that I wanted to do. And then they contacted me back and said I was 0.5% short of getting through. And I said, thank God. I set up my own business. And I would encourage everybody to be an entrepreneur, because an entrepreneur helps you find a niche that's your own, instead of following the teacher, doctor, lawyer, nurse. And, you know, for some people, they're great professions. For other people, they just don't suit. And so I came along this line. I decided to design my own career. And it started off, I suppose, being singing, teaching, mainly singing, teaching, because I worked with other singing teachers. And, you know, this was kind of the way to go. I was following the guidelines I was getting and the advice, I suppose. And we don't always know what we're doing, first of all. And it's great to get the experience anyways. And then somewhere along the line, you know, I was getting different types of students. They were having like special needs without having special needs. Hmm. I was seeing a lot of patterns of behavior, a lot of fear, a lot of lack of confidence, a lot of a lack of belief in themselves. And so when we started to, or when I started to look at the voice, the same patterns were also occurring in the voice. And so I was like, right, there's more to this instrument than what we're presented with. And so I went off and I trained in neurolinguistic programming. I had already done a bit of neuroscience as part of my PhD. And everything, I think I did one in January, I think like 2 years ago during COVID, I had done like 20 courses and I was still getting more. And then people were telling me, you need to stop studying. And then I said, right, I cannot do one more thing until I teach what I've learned. And so I said, I'm designing a program, Born to Rise. And it's going to be on self-development. It's going to break down what exactly is happening on the voice, where our emotions are being locked, where our behaviors are being locked, what's stopping us from moving forward. And we're going to all do it in 2 days. And we're going to have a big show at the Town Hall Theatre.
That is fantastic.
I was scared.
I wouldn't worry about the scared side of things. I'm actually tired even thinking about all that you've done. This is phenomenal.
Crazy.
So I'm just going to call it out, first of all, just to give a recap to the people out there as well. A professional in music, creative arts, philosophy, neuroscience and neurolinguistics.
Yeah. So my PhD is actually in philosophy, because a lot of people go, you're not a medical doctor. I couldn't put a plaster on someone. I'm not medically inclined that way at all. Yeah, so it's a doctorate in philosophy. So it's looking at, you know, ways of being and ways of living. And I think it's really fascinating when we start to break all that stuff down. It is so interesting. I actually have loads of friends as well who study psychology, so I'm clearly drawn to that as well. So
yeah, I just want to bring you back for a second as well, because we all love looking at a beautiful horse out in the field. It's majestic, it's class, the beautiful neck, the beautiful body.
Yeah.
Did you learn an awful lot of kind of like human characteristics within horses as well, like the emotional side of horses? I know it might sound a little crazy,
yeah,
but did you learn a lot about them?
Yeah, so it's really interesting, because horses are animals of flight. They react to the information that you give them, and they also read your energy very well. And we have a thing in singing that I say to people, like, are you trying too hard? And it's really part of our life, you know, are we trying too hard? And sometimes we push, and obviously with 10 courses, maybe there's a lot of me that's trying too hard as well sometimes. But when you go to a horse as well with that same, like, trying to force energy, the horse backs off, digs the feet in the ground. It often won't do what you want it to do. And it's much the same with the voice. If you try and push the voice to achieve something that you have an idea of should be the perfect sound, the voice shuts down.
That's phenomenal.
But when we can break it, the sound that comes out of people is exceptional.
Never thought on that level before, but it's fantastic. It's actually fascinating,
to
be honest.
It's so interesting. Every day I'm so interested by it. I just think it's amazing.
It really is. Now, let's go back a little bit as well. Do you need to be a good singer to get involved in what you're doing?
No. So here's the beauty about singing and the voices. I get obsessed with it now because when you are in the womb, you know, we all have that thing, like, we're all drawn to music. We all love music. I bet half of the people listening, probably 90% of the people listening, have a secret like, oh, I'd love to sing, but I'm too scared. Or I'd love to sing, but I don't have the confidence, or I don't have the voice, or, but they still really like it and they want to engage it and they listen to music and they sing when no one's listening. But how you developed in the womb has got to do with rhythm and beat. And that's why the horse was so powerful for self-development, because it brings you back to your innate instinct in the womb when you developed with your mother's locomotion and her heartbeat. So rhythm and beat are the fundamentals of our development, of our core, of our being, of our growth. And so people have this innate calling in them, but they do not know why. And so when we start to break it down, you know, we don't always all have the luxury of, you know, singing in a band or being part of a singing environment or a singing work life or singing experience. But if we can do it even as a hobby and we encourage people and build them up. And the beautiful thing about it is that we have this whole team of people around us. So we're very lucky with our team, with the whole band. We fly over backing vocalists from London. They are exceptional. And so everyone understands the journey and understands the growth process. And so we're creating that opportunity for people who have that calling inside them, whether they realize it or not. So I don't think I've ever met anyone who couldn't sing once we start to unlock it.
That's fantastic. And even rhythm, like you often say, look at your man over there, look at your one over there. She's not dancing in rhythm at all.
Yeah, some people have their own rhythm.
I was just about to say, is it a situation where people have their own rhythm, or is it a rhythm that is inherited, as you said, from the womb? It might not be the rhythm that musicians have, but is there a particular rhythm in non-rhythm?
Yeah, and you know, we all have our, like, so when we hear music, you're automatically moving your body to it. And so your brain and your body is connected, the thinking part and the movement part of your body. So we can stimulate music by movement, and we can stimulate the opposite way around. Yeah. When we have audio, we can stimulate movement. And so if you're lacking in one of those, so a lot of the time rhythm skills can reflect your learning ability as well, but we can also train that. So rhythm is something that we can learn because we have it in our system innately. And so people do have different rhythms. We all dance to our own drum, you know. Yeah. But it's trying to find the sound and the rhythm that's right for you. And I always tell people, when people say, like, oh, I can't sing, I don't have a voice, they just haven't found their song. And they just haven't found their why to sing.
That's very, very
And there's
cool.
So many genres of music. You know this.
Of course.
There's loads of genres. And I mean, I've even have someone doing a rap because, you know, maybe their rhythm for singing isn't 100%. But we can still get another way for them to express musically.
Yeah, because I suppose, let's put it this way, some people are rhythmic, other people are rhythmic with melody.
Yeah.
So that's maybe they like to hear the sound of melody, beautiful melodies, and other people kind of go off the drum beat.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And speak to the rhythm.
And some people just love the lyrics of the story and connect with that. And we're always drawn to certain aspects of certain things all the time. So it's lovely to take an opportunity to explore that. And I suppose that's really what this two-day event is. It's looking at, what do you want? What is actually holding you back? What are the things that make up your character without you even realizing? Because a lot of those things could actually be inherited from your parents, from your primary caregivers, from experiences you've had as a child. I've had so many people tell me, the nuns told me to be quiet in the choir and I never sang again. I mean, that is a really common one. I even had an 86-year-old woman contact me for singing lessons because she never had a chance to do it. Isn't that pretty inspirational?
That's unbelievable. But but it just shows that that has stayed with her all these years.
Exactly.
We're talking probably, you said 86 years old. It's probably 70 years ago she was told that, and it's still there.
Yeah. And now they see that this is the opportunity for them.
Yeah.
So, and it's lovely that we get to create that opportunity because not everyone has the opportunity. So you can really be any age. I would obviously like people to be a little bit older so they can understand their beliefs and their values and those limitations. So from like teenage years on, really, but even though we do take younger singer lessons or for singing lessons, younger students. But from that age on, when you start to understand how you can be shaped by the world, that is a great place to try and reshape you. And that's actually why we're doing this in January as well. So it is that new year, new year.
It is, yeah.
You know, there's such a lovely change in the air, and it's nice to be like starting the new year on a year that you want to live. And you know, making choices in your life that you want to create the life that you want, I suppose.
Just to give people an idea of the actual 2 days, then obviously you're speaking about it there, but just to get more in depth, is the first day kind of getting to know them, getting to know their music style and what they want to sing initially? Is that where you're going on the first day? No, well, that's fine. That's good.
It's good because sometimes people think, oh, this is just for singers. It's not for me. It's actually not a singing course, even though we do it through music. So the day breaks down, and if anyone wants to check it out, it's the www.karenhesh.com/program. And so it'll break down all the workshops. But obviously we do an intro where we get to know people, a little bit of an icebreaker where there's music involved. But we'd start to break down things. And one of the first things we break down is, why are you here? And so we start to look at that. What has drawn you? What is the potential that you have inside you? And start to reawaken the thing that you've always wanted to do, but you just haven't done. Then we look specifically at the voice and tone, how the voice hides tone, how it reveals things, and what your voice might actually be saying about you. So you get to look at maybe the things that have happened in your past that have influenced you, whether it's that the nuns told you to be quiet, or whether that you had another fear of something else, because music is very transferable in other areas of our life. So when we learn something in another area, we often find that things in our work life change, things in our relationships change. So it transfers out, which is the beauty about it, I suppose, as well. So we look at the voice, what's on the voice. Another thing we look at fear, how we dance with fear, or relationship to the things that we can't do, or self-belief. We also look at, I should have had the list in front of me.
Don't worry about it.
We also look at just connecting to ourselves as well. That is another part of the chapter, because at the end of the day, we can only live our lives for us. Nobody can choose things for you or live your life for you. And so if you're not doing the things that make you happy, what is really the point?
Exactly. And I suppose we learn an awful lot more from things that we enjoy. Do you know that kind of way?
And we enjoy it.
Yes, absolutely. Fantastic. No, that's really, really cool. I love that. It sounds very interesting.
There is an option on the course where people can sign up, say, for a golden ticket, and they can do a solo of choice as well. And obviously we'll work with them on that, and they'll perform on the stage as a solo. But there's also an option for people. If people sign up for the main ticket is the silver ticket, I suppose. And that's where everyone is participating in the 2 day event and then performing two group songs. And so there is a little element of singing. If you're not a singer, that's okay. We're completely used to working with that. If you want to get the full experience, want to do the golden ticket, you can sign up for that as well.
Would you have people as well that want to make a public speech going to you? Somebody that, you know, obviously that work in that line of work of public speaking, that wants to get better at it, wants to get the dynamic of their voice better. Maybe somebody coming up to being the best man at a speech or, you know, at a wedding. Would you find that happens?
We do get a lot of the wedding people coming in. Sometimes they want to sing a song or they want to do a group surprise thing. So we do get a bit of that. I've had Pauline O'Reilly from the senator from the Dáil. She's been coming to me as well, working on her voice just to get more presence and more confidence, because... you know, we can all be so confident in some areas of our life, but sometimes we meet a character or we meet or an experience that knocks us a little bit, and it starts to stir up things that don't make us feel so good, like anxiety, like a bit of fear, like maybe someone you encounter starts to trigger a trauma or a past experience, and we don't feel like that strong person that we were. But if we can fall back on our rhythm skills and fall back on our music, it can really help us to stand along. So yeah, I do. I even worked with a lot of... several people with mutism to try and get their voice back. Incredible transformation. And I even worked with several students who had maybe special needs, so they have a bit of a speech impediment.
Okay.
And we do get that back. And not fully, obviously, if they have a certain amount of special needs, there's a certain amount of speech that we can get back, but it's definitely get more clearer in their diction, more clearer in their speech, and they're just happier. They love singing.
And you see, I think it was Gareth Gates back in the day as well, in X Factor, he had a speech impediment as well. But obviously when he sang, he sang like a bird. It was beautiful. And I know another gentleman who I used to sing with years ago as well, who had a speech impediment, who the second that he opened his mouth to sing, the melody was beautiful. It was just so smooth.
Yeah.
So it is amazing what music can do.
Yeah, because our music brain is a different part of our brain and it works on that rhythm and beat, whereas our general speech is much more logical and doesn't access the same area. So I've actually worked with someone who had to present something speaking, but they had a speech stammer, And so we got the two of them to add some melody to their voice.
Okay.
And they were able to deliver what they had to deliver, the introduction piece, by singing, almost fake singing, their introduction, their speech.
Just changing the dynamic pretty much of the voice.
Yeah.
Now, we often see people as well that, and you might see this on different things like X Factor and Britain's Got Talent and all that, that people go into a different place in their head when the first bar or two of a song kicks in. You can see that they steer their concentration in a different place and go into a different place. Do you deal with that as well, where nearly like, how do I put it, an alter ego kicks in? And that would also become the front runner.
Like Beyonce.
Well, there you go. Crazy in Love.
Let's just be really honest here. Probably a lot of the people that sign up for this type of course don't have that persona developed.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have that Beyonce. And it takes a while to get there. But what we do focus on in one of the workshops is what is your why? You know, and when we have our why, our reason for singing, our reason for showing up, our reason for wanting to find our voice, we can find that place. So it mightn't be your alter ego, diva. I think she's Sasha Fierce Beyonce, isn't she? I think
that's
people also forget, like, oh God, I'm not Beyonce. I couldn't sing that. There's a whole team of people working to get Beyonce to be Beyonce.
Of course.
She's just not Beyonce without this whole team of people. And I think we forget that. We think that we have to do so much stuff on our own. But actually, there is people out there, and there's some really good people out there. And we are very, very blessed. We have a beautiful choir called Rise Choir. And I actually wanted to change the word from choir, because sometimes you think of a choir and you think of like this particular, you know, really clean harmonies, three part, one voice. And we're not like that. It's very much a celebration of different singers, different voices, different tones. We do a lot of impro. We get the audience involved. And the choir are actually going to be performing at the town hall as well, or an event in January. But it's a great place to meet those bunch of people who understand the journey. And I'm really blessed by the bunch of people that we have in the choir, because they nurture the rest of the members. And that support system that there is so powerful, and it's so necessary. We all need some support. I mean, it's so hard to do anything creative if you're from a logical household, you know, and it's so hard to find that voice in yourself, or to find that place in yourself. If you've no one there to kind of give you a little nudge or back you up, or I've got you if you fall.
Exactly. But I think the other great thing about it as well is everybody's there for a reason over the 2 days. And I think that it's quite infectious when people are there, obviously to sing or to get involved and things like that. Look, we're here. Just go for it. You know, we're all here for a reason.
Yeah.
You know?
And some people don't know why they're there. But I always say to people, if you've got that little calling or that little niggle and you're thinking, God, that sounds interesting, that's your cue. Sign up. That's that little voice saying, this thing that you're trying to get out, it's here.
Yeah. And again, don't be fearful. As we spoke about there, you could be a person that works quite, I suppose, with a company, and you might be very involved around the table when it comes to planning, but you're the one that doesn't say anything at the meeting, but you want to say something at the meeting. You want to put your point across. So this could be a perfect opportunity for that.
And sometimes you want to challenge the meeting, and you don't know how people will accept your creative ideas. Maybe I have known, like, a few of my students have gone to change their career completely because they realized that maybe the structure that they were in wasn't as open-minded or wasn't as flexible or creative as they wanted to be. And so they've gone and created their own careers. And I always think that is amazing. And it just shows the growth that you can find when you start to find your voice in the world.
Yeah, it really is fantastic. Did you ever have anybody, well, I'm sure you have, had people come back and give you feedback of, yes, I did go back to the workplace. Yes, I did speak. Yes, I said my piece and I gained a bit of respect for it.
Yeah. Every day. It's you know, I suppose it's different in the workplace sometimes, because sometimes you can have the voice and sometimes you can't. But I have a lot of people who leave and they feel happier in themselves. So whether what they voiced was received well or not received well, they're happier. And at the end of the day, isn't that really all that matters? That people are happier when they're speaking their own voice and they found themselves, I think.
It is, but it's the release. It's probably, an inward tension that you may want to get out. And just like singing brings you to a different place, you got it out.
Yeah. And sometimes people don't know what they have inside them.
Very true.
Yeah.
There's sometimes I look at Sister Act there and to think of the Sister Mary Roberts and to think that when she was opened up, look at what she created. Hard to believe that's over 30 years old, that movie, now. But look at, we'll leave it at that just in case we get into other trouble.
I barely remember it then.
I'd say barely.
Must have been the replays.
You come across to me as a very, very driven person, which is a fantastic attribute to have.
I am driven. I am driven because I have a why. And even with designing the course, like, honestly, I thought I was crazy. And I'm sure a lot of people thought I was crazy. But I was like, no. This is, has to do this. This is, there's a, people need it. And there's a reason for it. And even though I felt like I was way in over my head, I was like, even I'm reading back on the course these last few days, you know, because we just finalized the course at the end of November. So I was advertising a course I hadn't even finished, but I was like, oh no, it's going to happen. And so I was reading back over the course and I'm like, the content is really good.
Yeah.
The content of the course is good. I tried to put everything I've learned. It's not like I'm, you know, digging in a box of magic that I'm making it all up. It's taken from places where I've learned things and I've experienced things and I know that this can help people. And the most thing, these things I've learned is from working with other people. It's taken those experiences that we have that I know work. I know they work and bringing them forward. And at the moment, I'm actually doing the course myself. Because we all, when we come to the course, the idea is you come with your goal. And so whatever your goal is, that's what you're coming with. And so my goal changes a little bit. We have a new year, new you. And so the goal change, life changes. We're not always in the same happy place all the time either, because sometimes we get a knock. Sometimes something happens in life. You know, we're, you know, life is good when it's all good. But then sometimes we do get that universal pull, as I call it.
Yeah.
And life changes and we have to find ourselves again. And sometimes that happens for a lot of people when they have kids. They have to find themselves again when they're not so much needed in the household anymore, or they've lost their career, their vocation to look after their kids, is to try and come back for that again.
Yeah, but I suppose the good thing about it is you have belief in what you do. And as you said, you looked at the course and you said, yes, that's the way to go. But that's a great way to be, because at least what you're bringing to people is a known fact. It does work and people will benefit from it, which is very important. What I want to get back to for a second as well is that obviously we were speaking about singing there. And you spoke about that universal pull that can happen in your life. Mm-hmm. People obviously sing different genres of songs, but they also sing different emotions of songs.
Yeah.
Obviously, a happy song will bring happiness to you. But at times, if you sing an emotional song or a sad song or a song that might be aligned with your life, the emotion pours out.
Yeah.
Either in the middle of it or at the end when you're able to.
Have lots of tissues here for a reason.
So they're
never far away.
I was just about to say, they're not a fashion statement or anything. They do work.
Written on my list to bring to the Born to Rise course is tissues. Because part of, you know, finding yourself is the releasing the thing that was holding you back in the first place. And I am definitely one of those people that will listen to all those sad, miserable songs. Don't ever really listen to the happy ones because they help me get out stuff. And I think it's really important that we allow music to do what it needs to do at the time. And we also find that when our mood changes or style of music change, sometimes we can listen to a song and repeat 100 times.
Yeah.
We've all been there where you just press repeat. Some song has touched and moved you in a particular way.
Thanks, Alanis Morissette.
Which one?
I don't know. All of them. We've been
I know.
There.
At the moment, I really love Lauren Dangle, and she actually, I played her the whole time I was doing this Born to Rise course. That was my motivation. And when I hear that music, I just feel like, yes, this can happen. And this is really important. And it reminds me the why that I'm doing it in the first place.
But I think we always strive to be back there. I think we all have this inert kind of little comfort blanket as well of, I want to be back the time Oasis were big. You know, Blur, all this, because I think we're trying to grab at our youth again. We are moving on, obviously, but you do try and grab. Well, there you go.
So good.
You're still young. We're not going to mention ages around here, but I think there is that inbuilt kind of thing of not wanting to get that much older. We want to grab onto the past. So, do you notice that people would obviously be singing songs that would bring them back to their teens?
Yeah. So we have a few things when it comes to looking at song choices. And one of the things I love about music is that music has memory. And so Alzheimer's is another charity that we would really support. And the choir actually raised 10 grand for Alzheimer's.
Fantastic.
It was pretty amazing, pretty special. But music is one of those things that brings back memories, but it also brings back the emotion attached to that memory. And sometimes when people come to me and they're like, you know, this song is the song I used to sing when I was in college years, and I just love it. It releases me. It does this. Or maybe it's a Christmas time when I was a kid or whatever the song is. But there's a reason why you're drawn to that song. Mm. And there's some emotional freedom that you probably experienced back then that you're not so much feeling now.
Yeah.
And so we want to figure out what the difference in the feeling is and why you're attracted to that music in the first place, so that we can get you, I suppose, to not so much enjoy music in the present, because I don't care what type of genre people listen to, but they can understand why they're craving that music. And if you're craving younger days or more youthful days, there's an emotion in it that you want to come back to. And maybe you don't have that emotion now because you're stressed out, you're paying bills, work's not what you wanted, life at the weekend is not what you wanted, family life is not what you wanted. You know, there's all of these things that come into play, and this course is literally about breaking some of that down.
Yeah, instead of having the bottle of Buckfast, you have a nappy, and that's just that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
A lot of the times as well, the song that you may sing would not be your song. It'd be a song belonged to somebody that meant something to you, somebody that may have passed on, somebody that may have been a good friend that sadly you fell out, or all that as well. So that has another angle. Yeah.
And then we also take music like, so your particular vocal quality that you lean into might lend itself better to a particular style or genre. And we are, you know, onto the radio, we listen to a lot of pop. Pop is probably the most thing that's on the radio at the moment.
Yeah.
But there's so many other genres of music. And when we start to break down what other genre qualities have, and then we start to break down what your voice have, sometimes you get a marry that you've never had before, and your voice does a pop that it's never done before, you know? So we can unlock the instrument also by looking at the vocal nuances of the instrument as well.
Yeah, because I suppose, you know, you can well imagine, obviously people of different ages will go for different types of music. Older people may, I'm only saying may, go for the likes of swing music, stuff that they would have remembered from the 60s, 50s and 60s. So do you have that kind of an idea as well, where completely different walks of life with different types of music?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things I suppose I love about the choir, is that we have all different genres. Mm. We have Lady Gaga, we have Queen, we have Ray Charles, we have a whole list of them, Lionel Richie. You know, it's never about the song. It's always about the meaning and what it's bringing and the voices that we have. So it's working with what's presented to us. So if someone's coming to us and they have maybe a vocal quality that is maybe a bit pitchy, maybe a little bit out of tune at times, there's always a song for that singer.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just means exploring a little bit more. And we even just had a singer recently, and I think it's lovely. She's Austrian, and she's just picked an Irish song, an Irish artist, for our upcoming event. And I just think it's lovely that she came all the way from Austria to find her song. And I just think that's beautiful. And it's been so many people like that, you know, that they'd never have heard that music grown up. And then suddenly you present them with a different artist or a different outlook or genre, and things change.
Exactly. Sure, I love Cuban music. I just love that kind of, but then again, I'm a percussionist anyway, so you love that kind of Cubano kind of way about it. One other question I want to ask you as well is, do people find it easy or hard, I suppose this depends on the person, to open up at the two-day event? That when you do find out, you know, about them and why they picked a particular song, do you find that they naturally just kind of open up and become emotional, or do you find some of them are quite set in their ways? No, I can't cry. I'm among people here that I don't know.
Yeah. So this is our first time doing the Born to Rise two-day event. But we have done workshops and we have done other events. We've done showcases in the past. And very much people... it's really funny, you know, we did our last one in July and I invited some neighbours of mine that I met during COVID. They were bawling.
Really?
In the audience. Because the emotion is contagious.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see people breaking through and your admiration and just love for what they've shared is contagious. And when you see someone open up, you're more inclined to open up, or if you feel like you're in a very safe place. And music is a great thing because it does that naturally. It's our emotional home. It's how we developed. And so we're always going to feel like, oh yeah, I feel safe in this song. We'll always find a song that we feel safe in. And so when we can do that, it does open up more contagiously. We do one-to-one lessons as well here at the studio. And sometimes I tell people, we're going to cry in week one. We're going to cry in week four. Otherwise, it's going to be a disaster at week seven.
You'll be all over the shop.
Always the same. Yeah. So sometimes people go, oh my God, I can't believe I'm crying. I didn't know I could make that sound. And it happens. So it's just literally a release, so organically. And I'm like, I'm really glad you cried now, because
But as you said, you know, it is contagious. Music just does that to people. And you'd often find, even when you're playing in a band or DJing, as I was doing for years, that it does take that first few people to come out on the floor to infect the rest of the people sitting down to come out on the floor.
Yes.
So it does have a very powerful effect.
And part of the culture that we created in the choir is very much part of that. And so when I know I go to these events, I already know I have 20 plus people in the audience who get that. The choir perform, but obviously then they sit in the seats. And so you're already mingling that energy and that culture in amongst the audience. And then we do a little speech at the start, so people know what's about to unfold for the experience as well. And then the rest just happens.
Who are the audience?
You can be in our audience.
Okay.
Yeah. Come with your friends and family. The audience open to everyone. So if you're curious about it, you can definitely come on down. Tickets are on sale at the Town Hall Theatre. You can go onto the website. You can even go onto my website, Facebook page. It will lead you to the Town Hall. And you can buy your tickets directly there for the event that's happening on the 29th. The door is at 6:30 and the show is at 7. So this is where all our students from the two-day programme go on stage and unleash what they've learned.
That's fantastic. And just tht.ie, I know it off at this stage, 091-569-777 is the Town Hall Theatre if you want to get in touch with them about that. I think it'd be absolutely brilliant. I think it's fascinating. It really is, Karen, because as I was driving up here, you're thinking of different aspects, different ideas, and everything relates to emotion, to diction, to actually diction.
Yeah.
Let's talk. I know we spoke about people that may have issue, you know, speech impediment issues, but do you find through singing, because people want to get a point across, do you find that their diction gets better?
So this is an interesting thing, and I have the same thing in choir. You know, in choir, you're taught to say your T's at the end. In reality, when we're emotionally expressing, we don't do that.
True.
And so I don't ever tell people, lean on that. Yes, your tongue coordination, your jaw, your lips, everything gets more flexible, you get more muscle in there, so you definitely get more coordination and your diction does get clearer. But when you're expressing a song, you need to do it authentically. And so when we break down how emotion is expressed, like if you rang someone up on the phone, you would know by their tone how they were feeling most of the time.
Correct.
And so then if you're going to put proper diction on that, you're going to lose actually the feel. And the best one was, you know, the song, And I Am Telling You.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you start going, I'm telling you, it just misses it.
Ever so slightly.
Yeah.
It does though, you're
so
right.
So singing does help your diction, but sometimes, well, every time I think if you're performing, emotion has to come first. And that's why it doesn't matter what the voice sounds like. What matters is your why and how you connect to it.
That's really cool. Your website again, KarenHessian.com.
Yeah, Karen with a C. I've already been giving out about it this week.
There you go. Get your C's in there.
Yeah.
So KarenHessian.com. Get in. So the dates again, just to give everybody an idea, 28th and 29th?
28th and 29th of January. Yeah, it's a two-day, full-day program. So if you go to the KarenHessian.com/program, it will literally give you all the program details and break you down for the... for each workshop for the day, and we'll tell you all about it. There's the golden ticket option and the silver ticket option.
Yeah.
Speaking of diction.
Look at this grand. We've had a long day.
And then you can also come to the show that's on the Sunday evening. And then if you really are still curious, every Tuesday we do a Born to Rise podcast. We have a little, it's on Spotify, the Born to Rise podcast, but we also have a little closed group where you see the video of it. It's Born to Rise. You can just click, find it and click and ask to join. And basically every Tuesday we do a 10-minute training section on self-development.
Excellent.
So we look at anything from, you know, living your best life, confidence, grief. Oh my God, we've done so many of them at this stage. We're actually over a year doing them. And so it's just every Tuesday we give you a little training section. Oh my God, I'm stuck at that.
Right, you're grand. But it's amazing how we speak about music, but music has a place everywhere.
Yeah.
As in whether it's a wedding, whether it's a funeral, whether it's a going away party, whether it's a coming home party, music has a place everywhere.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. And people use music, you know, in shops and in cinemas. I mean, if you watched a horror movie without the sound, it would be totally fine. But you put on that sound and you're not so safe going to bed at night.
But even at that, let's put it this way, lots of people put music outside the doors of their shops as well to entice people to come in.
Exactly,
is to put you into that place.
Yeah, and it creates a certain feel.
Of course
it does. And we react and we make decisions based on how we feel. all the time, including like how you get up in the morning and the clothes that you wear are based on how you feel. So everything that you do in life, including signing up for the program, will be based on how you feel. And a lot of the time we don't have the confidence to do certain things, but actually if we could just give that little nudge and, you know, take action, push yourselves that little bit, because if we always do the same thing, we'll always end up in the same place. And so sometimes you need to break that cycle a little bit. And the only reason we'll do that is if we're inspired enough to, motivated enough to, or we feel like we've no other choice, but we have to. Because there comes a point in life, you know yourself, where you're like, I just cannot do this anymore. Something has to change.
As people say, there's always more than one way to go to someplace.
Exactly.
So why not take that that option and go the bumpy road, whatever road you want.
And there's several options, I suppose, to engage in this. You can join the choir, you can do one-to-one lessons, you can come to our beautiful two-day event. Obviously, I would highly recommend that. You can come and watch the show.
That'd be great. I think that's very... I'm looking forward to it, actually. I'll powder along to that. I'm looking forward to that.
Because I rebranded in this last year, and part of the goal of the rebrand was to make it more accessible for everyone. So if you're someone who wants to do it all, you want to sign up for it all, go for it. If you're someone who just wants to check in on a Tuesday and learn a little bit more about yourself, that's free. Tuesday's free. It's a free little podcast video training.
So that's brilliant. So whether you want to be a superstar and pull the shirt open up on a stage, or whether you are the person
it's
that just wants...
before.
I'm sure it has. And I'm glad it wasn't me.
Me too.
And if you are... And if you're that person that maybe in the workplace that just wants to get your voice out there and project more and to engage more in the room, this is absolutely 100% for you. Karen, I want to congratulate you first of all, because I think the amount of work that you've done to get to this point is phenomenal. It really is. It's commendable. And, you know, you should take that because there's a lot of work. Your drive is fantastic. So well done on that as well. And your belief in this is phenomenal as well.
I have great people behind me, and you cannot do it without a community.
And that's so true.
Everything that I've built, Born to Rise, is an extension of Rise Choir.
Yeah.
Because those were the people that pushed me when I felt, oh my God, I can't do this.
Well, they always say it takes a community to raise a child.
Exactly.
So look, we'll take it from that. Thank you very much indeed. Check it out again, karenheshan.com, and Born to Rise. Have a look at the Town Hall Theatre as well. Give you more information, tht.ie or 091569777. Karen, Dr. Karen,
so
sorry. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Check the pulse. Thanks for listening. And watch out for my next podcast coming up soon. By the way, there are 17 previous conversations you may want to listen back to in this series. So enjoy.